Avos Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Aleph. This is 2:11, and in some versions of the Mishnah, it's the middle of 2:8. Here we have Hu Haya Mona Shvachan. He, Yochanan ben Zakkai, enumerated and recounted the merits of his students. So the basic point here, as far as I'm concerned, is that he had five different students, each of whom excelled in a different area, some in different forms of intelligence, some in different ways of their avodas Hashem, and he recognizes each of them as individuals. So the overarching message of this Mishnah, as far as I'm concerned, is that a teacher can expect cookie-cutter results from his students. He has to recognize and praise each student on his own merits, because each person is different. Each person brings something different to the table. So here, what do they bring to the table? Now, there are those who learn that we should learn from their virtues and try to emulate them as well. Okay, that's good. We'll discuss that also. First, we have Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Bor sud she'eno ma'abed tipa. He was a cistern that's plastered, that doesn't lose a drop. Throughout Torah, and we know that the Torah is compared to water, so here we're having Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus be like a cistern that holds water and doesn't lose a drop of water. So that means he is a repository of Torah that never forgets anything. A bor, a cistern, you know, in the antiquity, there are three ways you could get water. Either you have from a ma'ayan, that's a spring out of the ground, and we'll discuss that in a moment. You could have an aqueduct, which is that the water is brought to you from afar, or you can collect rainwater and then use it when you need it. And you collect it in a bor, in a cistern. So he's collecting the Torah and not losing a drop of it. And there's an additional sort of connotation here, which is when you store water, let's say, in a pond, so after a time the pond gets, you know, the green slime nastiness and you don't want to drink that anymore. But if you store water in a bor, in a cistern, so it stays fresh. So the idea here is that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was able to remember everything he learned. He kept it within him and it was always like a fresh and tasty, so to speak. Worth noting again, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus praised himself for never teaching anything that he didn't hear from his own teachers. So you see this is his way of doing things. And he's extraordinary. Obviously, the if you read Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, in the beginning you see he basically started learning when he was 28 years old. He sacrificed so much for his Talmud Torah and he became the great Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, Eliezer HaGadol. Now, if we understand that we're supposed to emulate his ways, the question is, well, how do we emulate someone who's gifted with a good memory? That's just a gift, right? So the Mefarshim say, well, no, that it may be a gift to have a good memory, but that's not the only thing that happens. There are two other things you need to focus on if you want to remember your learning. One is that you have to really value it. You cherish your learning, you take it seriously and sacrifice for it, then it becomes yours, and you want to own it and keep it and remember it. That's something valuable to you, so you keep it safe. You invest in it and it stays with you, as Eliezer ben Hyrcanus did. He sacrificed so much, the Torah was dear to him, we see from the stories, and therefore he retained it much better. A second thing is, you know, you have to be sort of diligent in your studies and in your chazar, in your reviewing of your studies. And the secret to chazar, the secret to review, if I can tell you one thing that's so important, the most important thing I have to say for today, for sure, is the secret to successful chazara, of reviewing your material, is to review your learning before you forget it. That reinforces what you know, and it makes it deeper ingrained into your mind, so you don't lose it. Once you've forgotten it, it's not reviewing it, it's learning the second time anew. So he was good about reviewing things, so the Mefarshim, and therefore you can emulate him in as much as you could love and cherish your learning, sacrifice for it, be diligent in your studies, and review your learning to have a good memory as well like him. Second of all, you have Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. Ashrei Yoladato, fortunate is the one who gave birth to him. So the Barthener learns, like the Rambam, that he had such good midos that when people would meet him, they'd say, wow, what an amazing person. Whoever's his mother is lucky to have him. Something like that. Which is, I'm sure, true. He had this midos tovus, exceptional character. But in addition, there's a separate element, second shot brought in the Barthener, but it's a second element, which is, it's his mother who he has to thank for his extraordinary accomplishments, his great midos. It says, you know, already before he was born, she would already go to the Beis HaMidrash, and after he was born in his little baby carriage, she would sit him in the Beis HaMidrash, so he would absorb in the Torah and love for Torah and the Chachamim and wisdom. And I'm sure throughout his whole younger years, his mother was the one who encouraged him and impressed upon him the value of Torah and so on. So it's thanks to her that he became Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. So therefore, fortunate is she who gave birth to him, his mother. And certainly a message there for all the mothers and aspiring mothers and grandmothers out there. No doubt about it, both my Rebbeim, Rav Chaim Zevlunitz Zatzal, and also the living Baruch Hashem, Rav Yitzhak Berkowitz, Shlito should be well. Both of them told me on numerous occasions what an incredible impact it was their mothers who had on them, and their mothers who invested in them, and that pushed them to become who they were, the Gedolei Olam. So moms can do a lot. That's number two. Number three, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen was a chassid. Now, a chassid here, it's hard to translate. It's from the word chesed, which means kindness, okay? Don't think chassid in terms of like the Hasidic movements and, you know, the Baal Shem Tov. It doesn't mean that exactly. And although translated as sort of like pious, because for lack of a better term, I just want to contrast it right away. The Bartanura here says that he was Sha'osa Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. He went above and beyond the letter of the law. Now, before I explain that, I just want to contrast that with the next one. The next person is Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel, and he was Yirei Chet. He feared sin. And there the Bartanura says, Machmir L'Atzmo. He was strict upon himself. So these are two separate things. I want to make sure that you understand. So Chassidus here, in the context of this Mishnah, means something like, you know, focusing on the mitzvahs ase, on the positive angle, and he went sort of above and beyond. The word chesed means to sort of break boundaries, to go beyond yourself. So a chassid is one who does that, both in terms of his fellow man, you know, going above and beyond and doing kindness to others, but also to Hashem, going above and beyond in terms of your avodah Hashem, but in the positive sense, you know, doing an extra one of the things you're supposed to be doing, and that kind of thing, or wearing a tefillin an extra 2 minutes, whatever the story is. So that was Yossi HaKohen, and of course, we can emulate that, trying to be chassidim in our own right. Nothing wrong with being chassidim in the sense of the Baal Shem Tov, chassidim, that's wonderful, but chassid in this sense as well, going lifnim mishuras hadin, above and beyond the letter of the law, in exerting ourselves to be kind to others, and in doing our avodas Hashem, more than just the requisite amounts, you know, in the positive sense. B'shim minasanel yurechet, he is fearful of sin, so it wasn't just like we just said in the couple of Mishnayos ago that even Am Ha'aretz can be Yerechet, can fear sin. But he didn't just fear sin, he was very strict on himself, even putting on like protective fences to make sure that even things that were otherwise mutter to him, he didn't do, and the risk of, you know, succumbing to some kind of avera or other. And therefore, he was extreme in his sense of doing everything he could to heaven forfend doing any avera whatsoever. And that yireschet, that fear of sin, is really something to be admired as well. So we have these two elements to focus on. We can learn on both being a chassid and a yireschet. And finally, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was a ma'ayan ha-misgaber. A ma'ayan is a spring, like from the spring water that comes from the ground. And mitgaber means self-strengthening. The idea here is that when you look at a spring, you say, you know, where is that water coming from? Wow, it's coming from this, like, you know, hidden source. We don't know where, somewhere deep within. And out comes the water. And the more water you take, there's always more water to be taken. In contrast to the bor sud, the plastered cistern, where the water's there, we know where it came from the rain. And if you take it out, it can become empty. It can empty out. There's only so much there. But a bor, a mayan ha-misgaber, a self-strengthening spring, always has more to give. There's always something more. And the idea here is that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was like this creative genius, and he was able to be mechadesh, new things, always. No matter how much he had to say, he always had more to say. You always could get from him a new idea and a new interpretation and a new explanation. And he was, you know, the most extraordinary mind that, you know, he could always have some new chiddush to tell you. So that's the mind of Miskaber, self-strengthening spring, who was, as we'll see later on, well, in the next Mishnah, Be'ez Hashem, or later on this Mishnah, as the case may be, we'll discuss, we'll compare and contrast the virtues of being the bor sud, the plastered cistern, and the mayan miskaber, the self-strengthening spring of water.